الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. There are many excellences of reciting Durood Sharif, Salawat and Salam upon the best of creation, our hope for salvation, our intercessor, our master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration we're told, Zayyinu majalisakum bis-salati alayya. Decorate your gatherings by reciting salat upon me. فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ عَلَيَّ نُورٌ لَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. For indeed, your recitation of salat upon me will be noor for you on the day of judgment. صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. In Islam, Allah Ta'ala has given a high maqam to a mother. And we all recognize this, we all know this as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went so far as saying that paradise lies beneath the feet of the mothers. A mother has a very high rank, no doubt. We acknowledge this, we express this. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also honored the fathers as well. And He has bestowed a high rank upon them too. But we see in society, we see in our communities that people often neglect their fathers and don't show them their due rights, the respect that they owed, etc. How Islam has elevated the status and rank of the father as well. And we should listen with this intention that we will further increase our service towards our fathers if they're alive. And we'll pray for them if they have passed on. And I'll begin the topic with a quite powerful account regarding someone who knew the value of serving the father. It's related that a man had four sons in total. And when he fell ill, one of his sons presented a very strange, unique proposal to his brothers, the other sons of the man. And he said, "You three look after our father in his final days. You serve him and you do not take a share of the inheritance, the wirasat." They said, "Well, what's this? This is a very ajeeb, strange proposal. But we should serve the father, but we shouldn't take any inheritance." So he replied, "If you do not agree to this, then give me this task. I'll serve him. I'll be at his bedside, I'll look after him in his final few moments and days, but I will not take a share of the inheritance." And they thought to themselves, what a win-win situation. We let this one brother take care of the father, and he is saying that he won't take a share of the inheritance as well. We're all happy with that agreement. So they accepted. And they said, "You serve our father and you don't take any share of the inheritance." What happened? One night, this son who took up this task of serving the father whilst he was ill towards the end of his life, he had a dream. And in this dream, it was said to him, he heard a voice saying, "Go to such and such place, dig the area, and you will find 100 dinars, gold coins. This dream occurred after he had served his father. His father had passed on now. He didn't take any of the inheritance. He asked that voice, he asked the person who gave him this instruction in the dream. He said, is there blessings in that 100 dinars? And the voice replied, no. So he woke up in the morning. He told his wife of the dream. And he said to her that I had a dream. I heard a voice. The voice said to me, go to so-and-so place, dig there, you'll find 100 gold dinars, but I refused. She said, you're such a strange man. You know how we're suffering. We have poverty. We're facing poverty. You didn't take any of the viratha, the inheritance as well. And you didn't take the dinars. He said, of course I didn't take the dinars. I was told there's no blessings in them. The next night, he had another dream. And this time in the dream, the voice said, go to such and such place, dig the area, you will find 10 dinars, 10 gold coins. Again, he asked that person, are there blessings in those 10 dinars for me? Is there barakah? And he was told, no. He woke up, he once again informed his wife, he said to his wife that I had a dream. And again, I heard a voice saying, go to so-and-so place, dig there, and you will find 10 golden coins, 10 dinars. I refused. She said, what are you doing? You know our state. You know how we're suffering. It's difficult to make ends meet. You haven't got any share of the viratha, the inheritance as well. Why are you refusing? And again, he said, I do not want to take any amount which does not have barakah in there. I've been told there's no blessings. What am I going to do with that? He had a third dream. And in this third dream, he was told, go to such and such place, dig there, and you will find 1 gold coin, 1 dinar. What do you think he asked? He asked, is there barakah? Is there blessings in acquiring that 1 dinar, 1 gold coin? And this time around, he was told, yes, there is. There's barakah in that 1 dinar for you. So, in the morning, obviously, he woke up. Again, he told his wife. And this time, obviously, he told her that he was informed that there will be barakah in there. He went to that place, he dug up the area, and he brought back 1 dinar, 1 gold coin. He thought to himself on the way back, I might as well purchase some fish. At least I can feed my family that way. My wife will be happy as well. So on the way back, he bought a fish. When he came home and cut open the fish, what did he find therein? A pearl emerged from the belly of the fish. He didn't buy 1 fish, he bought 2 fish. So he cut the second fish. And similarly, from the belly of the second fish emerged what? A unique pearl, subhanAllah. What happened thereafter? On the very same day, look at this. The king issued an order stating, I need a pearl of this particular color and design. And he said to his ministers, he said to his servants, said to his troops, whatever, I don't care where you have to go, bring me back this particular pearl which meets this specification, this design, this color, etc. I want it. They searched far and wide. They couldn't find anything. Until eventually, they came to this man who had that particular pearl. When he was approached and he was asked to sell the pearl to them, and he was told that, look, this is the exact same pearl that the king wants. Let's buy it off you. Let us buy it off you. What's your price? Name your price. How much did he buy the fish for? 1 dinar for 2 fish. Now, how much is he being offered for one of the pearls that came out from one of the fishes? He said, I want 30 mules worth of gold. Mules, similar to a donkey. 30 of them, I want you to fill them with gold. Allahu Akbar. Now, the king offered to pay that. The sacks were loaded onto the mules. They were brought to this guy, this person. And look at the barakah he attained from that one dinar. Then the king ordered. He said, one pearl is not enough. I want another one. I want two of the same ones. So again, they searched far and wide until eventually, where did they come to? They came to this very same person. He said, do you have another one? He said, yes, I have another one. He said, the king's willing to offer anything. What do you want for it? He said, I want double the price, double what you paid me before. What did he pay? What did he get paid initially? 30 mules worth of gold. This time around, 60 mules worth of gold. But it goes to show that this person served his father, did not take a share in inheritance, and then his level of taqwa was such that when he was told in a dream each time that go, you'll find 100 dinars, he asked if there were blessings in that 100 dinars. Today, what do we do? We don't ask these questions, unfortunately. We see a large amount, a high figure, we don't even think twice. But this person was a man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a pious person. And he said, okay, 100 dinars, but do they have barakah? He was told no. Second time around, he was told, go to so-and-so place. Dig it up, you'll find 10 golden dinars. He again asked, is there barakah, blessings in those 10 dinars? He was told no. Until eventually when he was told, go and dig up one dinar, it has immense blessings. He went to that place and you just heard how through that one dinar, he purchased two fish. From the belly of those fish, a unique pearl emerged. The king of the time sought out those pearls, those very same pearls that matched the description of those pearls. The first time around, he paid 30 mules worth of gold, and the second time around, he paid 60 mules worth of gold. What do we learn from this waqiyah? So many things. Number one, this person knew about the elevated and high rank of fathers within Islam. And as such, he didn't take any inheritance, but he didn't allow his other brothers to serve the father. And if they were clued on, if they were intelligent, if they were wise, they had understanding of the deen, they would have said to him, no, we want to serve the father as well. But they agreed upon this condition. They said, you don't take any of the inheritance and serve the father on your own. We'll keep all the inheritance. And in the end, it was he who benefited the most. He served the father, earned the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what he got in return in terms of the dunya and monetary value would have been far more than what he would have received in inheritance anyway. So the maqam of fathers in Islam is very lofty. And we have to teach the children that. They're not just going to have a dream to respect their elders, to respect their parents, mother and father. Especially in this day and age, where there's so many bad influences, corrupt influences, social media, where selfishness is being taught, not selflessness, not sacrificing your own desires. No, what's being taught is to just look out for oneself. No, don't even care about your parents, your siblings, your loved ones. This is the environment our children are growing up in. This individualistic mindset that they are gaining, that it's me against the world. It's me on my own. I just have to think about number one. And Islam, our deen, doesn't teach us that. Islam goes as far as saying that as long as you're helping your fellow Muslim brother, Allah Ta'ala's divine aid will be with you. You've heard this hadith many times before. Wallahu fi auni al-abdi ma kana al-abdu fi auni akhi. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will continue helping a person as long as he's helping his fellow Muslim. And obviously, from your fellow Muslims, right at the forefront are your parents, your mother, your father, your siblings, your blood relatives, and the wider community of Muslims. But people are very selfish today, very egotistical. Our egos are so inflated, it's hard for us to help others. Let alone help others, respect others. We haven't even got time for that. Now, parents say we do everything for our kids. We work for them. We work double shifts. We're building this for our kids. We want them to be easy. We want them to have a prosperous life. We are sacrificing everything for them. The question is, how much are we doing for their Islamic upbringing? Tarbiyah. Have we taught them about Al-Quran Al-Kareem and what the Quran tells us regarding parents, the rights of parents? Have we mentioned a hadith regarding the virtues of parents, the mother and the father in particular, who we're hearing about today? If we haven't, then we could do everything for our kids, but they won't necessarily serve us. They won't necessarily respect us. And we've seen these examples time and time again, where a kid becomes so spoiled. And then later on, instead of showing gratitude, he shows anger, arrogance towards those same people who had worked day and night for him. So this is something that we need to think about. How much are we teaching our children about Islam and about the rights of other people? It's narrated regarding Sayyiduna Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the khulafa of Islam. Some have included him amongst the Khulafa'i Rashidun, a very pious man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayhi, was asked by someone when he was about to pass away, he was about to leave the dunya, that you've left nothing for your children. You've left nothing for them. Listen to what he said. He said, if my children are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's not right for me to leave anything for them anyway. And they will end up spending it on wrong things if I do leave it for them. This is the scenario we see today and we face today as well. People accumulate wealth, hoard wealth. We're doing it for our children. The child doesn't know how to spend it. The child ends up wasting money. The child ends up splashing out, living a luxurious lifestyle. Ma'adhallah, in many cases, end up involving themselves in haram actions, spending it on intoxicants, alcohol, women who are not lawful for them. And the parents are saying, we are leaving our money behind for our children. The children don't know how to spend it. So Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayhi, said, if my children are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they don't deserve for me to leave anything behind for them. They'll end up spending on wrong anyway. And he continues and he says, if they are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will most definitely grant them from his hidden treasures. Allah ta'ala won't deprive them if they are pious, if they worship Allah, if they are obedient to him. Allah ta'ala will make them self-sufficient. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place blessings, barakah in their sustenance. What a beautiful reply by Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayhi. He was asked, why haven't you left money for children? You're about to depart the world. He says, look, if they're wrongdoers, then they don't deserve anything. And they'll spend it on wrong. If they're pious, I don't need to hoard money for them and accumulate money for them. Allah will grant them from his hidden treasures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them barakah in their sustenance. And we see people like this all around us, who came from nothing, but they were pious. They served their parents. They were good to their parents. And today Allah Ta'ala has granted them maqam. And conversely, we see how some people left millions and millions and millions behind for their offspring. Their offspring didn't have any Islamic teaching or upbringing, and they wasted it in an instant. They spent it on the wrong things. They became bankrupt. So this is the thing. We leave children behind. In what state have we left them behind? And the father is a very valuable member of the family. A father is he who puts himself in much difficulty in order to create ease in the life of their children. And some have described a father like a shade-giving tree. And the father goes to work, when he works overtime, when he takes debts, meaning takes on loans just to provide stuff for his children, when he goes out of his way, puts himself into financial hardship. Why? Because of the children, to fulfill their lawful desires, to give them a nice upbringing, a nice life. Then he's like a tree upon which the sun is gazing with its most powerful and very severely hot rays. Just imagine a tree which has the sun directly above it, and the rays of that scorching sun are gazing right upon that tree. So at the top, the father is feeling the heat, but then those beneath the tree do not feel any heat at all. Meaning the offspring, the dependents of the father, don't even know what he's going through. They don't know how many sacrifices he's making. They don't know how much difficulty he's going through, because they're just benefiting from what he's providing them with. So this is a beautiful example given. The father, he goes through difficulties, he goes through hardship, and he willingly does so. Why? For the sake of his kids. And we should appreciate that. We should be grateful to our parents. We should be grateful for the father as well. Now, a father is different to a mother in that a mother may at times express these things regarding herself. She may become emotional, it happens. But a father just keeps silent. He doesn't want recognition. He doesn't remind people. So therefore, it's important for us as children, as offspring, we need to understand this. We need to recognize that a father is highly valued. Why? Because of his sacrifices, because of what he does for his children. Now, fortunate are those who serve their parents, those who are there by their side, those who provide for them. Let's listen to an example in this regard, a beautiful example from the life of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once a son came to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, complaining about his father. He was complaining about his father. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my father wants to take my wealth. My father wants to take my wealth, my maal. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam said, bring your father here. Summon the father. When he arrived, the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, your son said you want to take his wealth. Is that true? The father answered, ask him what I do with the money that I take. When I ask him for money, how do I use it? I spend it on hosting relatives and fulfilling the needs of my family and children. This is what I do with the wealth that my son gives to me. Whilst the conversation was ongoing, Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam, the leader of all the angels, he arrived in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, this father who is before you, he has composed some verses of poetry in his mind. He's not even brought them to his tongue. And it's regarding the situation that they're currently facing. So ask him to recite those verses. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, informing of the unseen, he said to this father, he said, you have composed some verses in your mind that you have not yet recited before anyone. Recite them. The father said, Allah always increases our faith and insight through your miracles, O beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was a miracle that the beloved alayhi sallam knew that the father had composed some verses of poetry in his mind. Then he recited the verses to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the translation is as follows. I provided you with food since the day you were born and carried your burdens. When you were little, you were nourished by my earnings. Whenever illness or sorrow came upon you, I stayed awake all night because of your sickness. My heart feared your death, even though I knew that death is inevitable for everyone. My eyes wept as if the illness that afflicted you at night had struck me instead. I felt the pain, grew restless, and was troubled. I raised you until you grew wings and reached a point where I hoped you would now be of help to me. But you repaid me with harshness and rude words. If only when you disregarded the rights of me being a father, you had treated me as a neighbor at least, how a neighbor treats another neighbor. At least then you would have cared for me a little. These verses of poetry were mentioned before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Upon hearing these sorrowful words of the father, the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam wept. He grasped the son's collar and he said, "Idhab anta wa maluka li abika." That go, you and your wealth belong to your father. So again, this is an example from the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how a child was complaining about the father. When the reality was brought to light, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disliked this. But how can a child complain about the father? And that too in the court of the best of creation sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet alaihi wasallam knows full well what fathers go through, the difficulties they bear, the hardships they bear, only for the child to turn around and say they're burdensome. They want my money, they want my wealth. When children are young and the father has ongoing expenditure because of the child, nappies are finished, wipes, milk, clothing, this, that, and the other, and it's continuous. The father never says later on, when the child is older, that pay me back for the time and effort that I put in when you were a baby. When you were young, I used to spend on you day and night. This is how much is accumulated to giving me back. The father will never say that because he knows this is his responsibility. But at the same time, the child, when the child grows up, the father has nurtured him. He's on his own two feet now. He's independent. He should thank the father instead of considering the father a burden and behaving in this way. But this person came to the court of the Prophet ﷺ and complained about the father. The Prophet ﷺ disliked this very much. And he said, go, you and your money belong to your father. So parents live for their children. Fathers live for their children and go to great lengths to please their children as well. You know, when children see other kids wearing some sort of shoes, latest trainers, father tries the utmost. He knows it's difficult. Somehow or another, he puts himself into difficulty just to please the child, just to make sure the child doesn't feel inferior in society, just so that the child doesn't feel that I've had an impoverished upbringing or where a poor family. The father will go all out. And this is why their rank in Islam is very high. But at the same time, those who are unfortunate and wretched and who don't recognize the contributions of their mother and father. What happens? In a hadith we're told, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah ta'ala may defer the punishment of all other sins until the akhirah, the hereafter. But the punishment for disobeying parents will be given in the dunya before the akhirah. Meaning this is such a sin that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, whilst one is alive in the dunya, he will see firsthand the consequences of disobeying the parents. How grave a sin is this? All other sins, they're bad as well. They're condemnable as well. But the punishment is in the akhirah. And here, disrespecting the parents, being abusive towards parents, not fulfilling the rights of parents, and angering the parents, disheartening the parents. These are sins that one will definitely face the punishment for in this dunya before the akhirah as well. So it's very, very important that we respect our parents, respect our father as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said, the father is the middle door of paradise, the middle door of Jannah. And he continued and he said, it is up to you whether you protect it or abandon it. Either you honor the parents, the father, and enter through that door, that middle door of Jannah, or if someone disrespects the father, mistreats the father, and then that door, the middle door of Jannah, he will not have access to it. He won't enter Jannah through it. So this is upon us. In another place, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the rida, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies in the pleasure of the Father. Look at this comprehensive statement, that you want to please Allah, you must please the Father first. So, the pleasure of Allah lies in the Father's pleasure, and Allah's displeasure lies in the displeasure of the Father. So someone who is as we've been mentioning, is rude towards the Father, is disrespectful, this person will definitely have no maqam in the court of Allah too. Because the only way you attain the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by pleasing your Father as well. So, there's so many other narrations. I would like to finish with this one. It's a famous narration where people have probably heard of it before as well. A person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, that who has the greatest right to my good conduct? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam replied, your mother. Then he said, after that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again said, your mother. And a third time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again said, your mother. Then when he was asked, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, your father. And here, the reason for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying mother three times, the ulama have explained it, that firstly, the mother carries the child with great difficulty for 9 months. Then what happens? Then she gives birth to him. This is another hardship. She suffers. And thirdly, whilst the baby is young, she suckles the child. She looks after the child. Day and night, she's looking after the child. This is why. And the ulama have said, in no way is this hadith showing that you can, ma'adallah, show less affection, compassion, and respect to your father. No. For these particular reasons, the mother was mentioned thrice. Otherwise, the father himself has a great and high maqam as well. And the way they've summed it up is, they said that your mother is to be served more, and your father is to be respected more. Why? Because the mother is also tabi of the father as well. Meaning, she submits to him. So, in Islam, Allah Ta'ala has afforded everyone their rights, their ranks. And no doubt parents have great ranks in Islam. The mother has a great rank, but the father too has a great and high rank as well. We should never neglect our fathers. We should serve them. We should please them. We should make them happy. Why? This will ultimately please Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam as well. You will never find someone in the dunya who has truly pleased their parents and then afterwards he hasn't received or reaped the rewards of that. Meaning, you will never see someone who served the parents and has suffered thereafter. No. The sila, the reward of serving parents, being nice to parents, fulfilling their rights, Allah Ta'ala will give you that reward in the dunya and most importantly in the akhirah as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to understand the rights that are binding upon us, especially the rights of parents, and in particular, the rights of the father as well. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Glorious in every corner of the world for the sake